You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. Welcome to WGOD Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Dr. Paul Esposito. God is always broadcasting, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As we tune into His frequency, we will daily hear His voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, All Truth, All the Time. This is your host and speaker, Paul Esposito. Thanks for joining me here today, friends. God bless you. Thank you for taking 15 minutes of your day to join me as we together study the Word of Almighty God. We are going to... You know, as it turns out, it seems like we're ending our looks, our studies in each of these individual churches. Seems like we're ending on a Thursday lately, and I hate to start a new church on a Friday. So today I want to look at something. Well, I want to look at the rapture of the church. This is something that I just taught at my church last night on our Thursday night Bible study, and it's also the topic for my Sunday sermon this week, which you are invited to. The place, Island Community Church, 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. We meet Sunday morning at 10:30. We'd love to see you. If you're committed to another church, if you're going to another church, I'll have this sermon uploaded here. The podcast will be uploaded right here at either our Facebook page, WGOD Radio, or my website, WGODOnTheAir.com. Net. So don't worry, you won't miss this sermon on the rapture. I know I can't do it justice in 13 minutes here on this program. So, you know, one of the things that drives me bonkers is when I hear Bible teachers take a dogmatic approach about the rapture. You know what the word dogmatic means, right? It means you're absolutely certain on something, that it's not even up for negotiation. You know, like something is just an absolute truth. You know, things to be dogmatic about the Trinity, dogmatic about Jesus Christ being born of a virgin, dogmatic being about he did not have a sin nature, dogmatic about him being the Son of God, absolutely. But dogmatic as for the timing of the rapture, no way. And that's when you lose me, when I tune into your radio program or television program, no matter who you are, Adrian Rogers, J. Vernon McGee, Mark Bomber, no matter who you are, you lose me when you're dogmatic about when the rapture is and about telling people you're not going to be here for any of this stuff, so don't worry about it. This is what I want to look at today. This is my sermon on Sunday, and this is what's going to be uploaded here at the podcast. Do you know, through the Word of God, I can prove to you all three positions of the rapture, which is what? Pre-trib. Well, first off, what is the rapture? Well, it's found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 15. It says, "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or shall not precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first." Okay, here it is here. The time is coming. You hear it all the time. Rapture. What's the rapture? This is it. The time is coming. The Lord, well, here it is. I'll let again him tell us. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Remember that. That's the first key thing. The dead in Christ will rise first. Then verse 17 starts with a four-letter word, starts with a T. See it there? The word is then. Notice the chronological, the way that this goes. First off, the dead in Christ. What's the rapture? It's this. It's the Lord Jesus descending and with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we which are alive and remain will be caught up. That's the word harpazo in Greek. In Latin, the word is rapturi, which is where the word rapture came from. Rapturo or rapiere. There's various different verb tenses to that verb, because the verb is an action verb. In Greek, it's a powerful action verb. The word harpazo means to catch away forcefully. The word is the same word used for open robbery. You know, when you're walking out of Publix, someone comes up and sticks a knife in your back or a gun up to you, and they say, what? Stick them up. That's what the word means, an open robbery, out in the open. It means a forceful theft, stealing, and to take by force is what this word harpazo means. Now, again, back to verse 17. Then we which are alive and remain will be caught up with them in the air. With who? That is the dead in Christ, your grandmother who's died in Christ. Maybe your daddy, maybe your mama has died in Christ, and they were believers. You see, Paul says, don't fret, because they're going to come back with him. See, we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. That is what the rapture is. The 2,000-year-old argument, you see, is when is this going to happen? That's where all the arguments come from and stuff. Now, in our study here coming up on the radio and in the church next week, we're starting Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. It's the end of the church age, and God, or he hears a voice. He says there was a door open in heaven, and a voice said, come up here. And a lot of people think that's a picture of the rapture. That's the end of the church age, Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. You don't see any more mention of the church in the book of Revelation. This is why a lot of people think the rapture, when this event is before this great tribulation that's going to happen. That's one place. Another place to look at for a pre-tribulation rapture, for those that believe that, is right here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9. It says this. It says, for God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here you have to make a distinction, because you and I are always subject to the wrath of Satan, always have been. We look at Nero, who took Christians, dipped them in oil, and set them on fire. Why? So that he could light his arena. He also had packs of lions, which he would starve, wouldn't feed them for weeks, and then he threw the Christians to the lions. Horrible death. You see, this is the wrath of Satan, not the wrath of God. You and I aren't appointed to wrath. It says here, it says, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. I also think of a conversation God had with Abraham. Remember when they were not arguing, they were discussing over Sodom and what to do with it. Remember, Abraham said, if you find 50 righteous people in the city, will you spare it? And God said, yeah. Then Abraham said 40, 30, 20, all the way down to 10 people. And then Abraham said this to God. He says, far be it from you to do such a thing, to slay the righteous with the wicked. Far be it from you, Lord. Shall not the God of all the earth do right? And that stands today, friend. God's not going to slay the righteous with the wicked. You will not suffer and endure the wrath of God, but you and I endure the wrath of Satan. Ask our brothers in the Middle East who are losing their heads and dying and being crucified daily. We are always, it says, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter, Paul wrote in Romans. We are always being killed and crucified and killed as martyrs in the name of Jesus Christ. by the wrath of Satan, not by the wrath of God. Also, another place to go is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. It reads like this. It says, "Behold, I show you," or "I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at," all right, he even tells us when this is going to happen, "at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed." He even tells us when this is going to be, when this is going to happen. Now you see me, when I see this last trumpet, that automatically causes me to look for a series of trumpets. Is there anywhere in the Bible where you can see a series of trumpets? Yes. Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. "The seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and there was great voices in heaven saying, 'The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. He will reign forever and ever. We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and was and is to come, because you have taken to thee thy great power and have begun to reign." You can read that again. I'm running out of time. I encourage you to go to Revelation chapter 11, verses 16 through 18. What happens at the last trump in Revelation? Number one, his reign begins. Number two, the wrath of God starts. Remember, there's a difference between the wrath of God and the wrath of Satan. Number three, it says in this text, it's judgment day. This is the time of the dead that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward to thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints. So number four, it's reward day. What happens at the last trump? Middle of the book of Revelation here, the middle of the tribulation. What happens? God's reign begins. The wrath of God starts. It's judgment day for unbelievers. It's reward day for the Christian saints. Last up, post-trib. We can prove this as well. Revelation chapter 3, verse 10, it says, "To everyone who overcomes, I will keep you out of the hour," H-O-U-R, "hour of trial that's going to come upon the whole world." How long is an hour? We don't know. Is it literal or figurative? We don't know. This we know. I'll tell you this. An hour is not at the beginning of the tribulation. I don't believe that. Also, John chapter 6, verse 39. I want you to hear these four verses out of John. Remember what we looked at in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It says, "The dead in Christ will rise first. Then those of us who are alive and remain will be caught up." When do the dead in Christ rise? We've got the answer to that. Jesus says it four times. John 6:39, 6:40, 44, and 54. This is what he said. He said, This is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he has given me, I should lose nothing, but I shall raise him up on the last day. Verse 40, "This is the will of him who sent me. Everyone who seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up on the last day." Verse 44, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me should draw him, and I will raise him up on the last day." Now remember, the Bible says the dead in Christ will rise first. When is that? Well, according to the Word of God, it's on the last day. Oh, we're out of time here for today. I invite you to come out to Island. You can hear this whole sermon. Now, what I've given you today is not my opinion. I want to be certain to give you the Word of God and what the Word of God says about this. So I invite you out to Island to hear this sermon Sunday morning at 10:30. Look for the podcast uploaded on my website, wgodontheair.net. We'll be back again soon looking at a new church here on WGOD Radio, All Truth, All the Time.
Thank you for listening today to WGOD Radio, All Truth, All the Time. We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web at wgodontheair.net. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio.